And let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to observe my ordinances. You shall dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to gather in your name and to learn from your Son the way of prayer, cleanse our hearts and open them to receive what you desire to give us. Let us be attentive to what is in our hearts, for that is where you desire to meet us, where you desire to cleanse us, where you desire to love us. We ask this through our Blessed Lady, who pondered all things in her heart. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So a week ago, we learned and discerned and dug into the reality of prayer. What is prayer? And discovered that prayer, at its essence, at its core, as we see from Jesus, is rooted in the word Father. The fact that prayer is about relationship. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is growing in relationship with the one who is truly our Father. But then the follow-up question, once we know what prayer is, in generality, in broadness, in just the over-encompassing, like the umbrella term, what is the stuff? Like, what does it look like? Okay, we got the broad answer. Now, what do we get at? What is the stuff of prayer, is the best way to put it. If prayer is relationship, then what are we supposed to pray with? What fuels the relationship? And that brings us to tonight. And the guiding principle for this is found in the book of Samuel. And in the first book of Samuel, we read when Samuel goes to Jesse with his 12 sons. Jesse is the father of David. He's trying to anoint a new king. And he sees Jesse's first son and thinks, surely this is the one. And then God says, that is not the one. I quote, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks to the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. If prayer is relationship with God, then the stuff of prayer is what God looks upon, what God is concerned with. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we read, meditation is a prayerful quest engaging thought, imagination, emotion, and desire. Its goal is to make our own in faith the subject considered by confronting it with the reality of our own life. What does that mean? Well, let's unpack. Let's go deeper. But let's remember a few things before we continue. Remember from last week that we discovered from looking at the life of Jesus and especially his prayer that God wanted a relationship with us. God pursued us. Remember, the Catechism in several different ways said that God is the first mover. He is the one who reaches out first. Everything that we give to him is a response. He wants to be with us. He is near us. He wants to abide with us, as we see in John 15. He is pursuing us. We think of Psalm 139, where it says, you know, if I go down to the netherworld, you are there. If I go to across the sea, you are there. If I go here, if I go there, you are there. And another important point, so we know that God wants this relationship with us. Jesus tells us to call God our Father. And it is a very personal relationship. However, one important note that we have to always keep in mind is that in everything, the subjective experience is always governed by objective governance, truth. And as Catholics, that is the scriptures, that is the sacred tradition, and both interpreted authentically through the magisterium. And we don't have time to unpack all of that, but that is a presupposition for anything that we discuss from this point onward. When we talk about prayer as relationship and the stuff of prayer, it is always with a mind that our subjective experience can never be in conflict with what is objective, what is revealed to us through the scriptures, through the tradition, interpreted authentically by the magisterium. But there is still great value and great need for the subjective. And thus we get to the heart. No pun intended, sort of. The heart of prayer, the stuff of prayer. What do we go to? Where do we go to? What is the center of what prayer is? It is the heart, the focal point. In the scriptures, we see the word heart used thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. We think of it, Romans chapter 5, where it says that God's love is poured into our hearts. And I just read that point in scripture from 1 Samuel, where God looks to the heart. We think of Ezekiel, that passage I just read from the prophet Ezekiel, where God, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, tells the people, I will make you a new heart, a heart not made of stone, but of flesh. But what is the heart? Because we hear that, and our first impression, perhaps, is one of two things. One is our physical heart, the organ that pumps blood throughout the body. And just be frank, that seems kind of strange if God would be, that would be the place where prayer begins, in just a pump station. Or we think, and I use this term not to be pejorative, but just to, as a way to stereotype it, is like the Hallmark heart. Is like all the touchy-feely emotional stuff. Like just like the, oh, I feel so, like you give you someone a heart at Valentine's Day kind of thing. The first doesn't really get at the reality at all. The second has some truth to it, but doesn't get the full picture. The heart, as we see when we open up scripture over and over again, and this is quoting the Catechism, in naming the source of prayer, scripture speaks sometimes of the soul or the spirit, but most often of the heart. Go and read the Psalms every now and then and look at and just count the number of times in the Psalms, which are prayers, by the way, that they mention the heart. Just go and maybe a little exercise one day. Go and read through the Psalms and count the number of times the word heart is mentioned. The heart in Scripture is most often the source of prayer. And the Catechism continues. So that was paragraph 2562, paragraph 2563. The heart is our hidden center, beyond the grasp of our reason and of others. Only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. The heart is the place of decision, deeper than our psychic drives. It is the place of truth, where we choose life or death. It is the place of encounter, because as image of God, we live in relation. The heart is our hidden center. When the word heart is used in the scriptures, it is never just talking about the physical heart or just our emotions. The heart is basically a pseudonym for the whole person. This is where our center is. This is where everything that we are is encapsulated, is in the heart. In this pseudo-physical but pseudo-spiritual kind of term. And I don't mean that to mean like it's just kind of spiritual or just kind of physical. What I mean is that it encapsulates everything that we are, which is both physical and spiritual. One little thing that you can need to always remember, both in your own life and in our understanding of what it means to be human, we are both physical and spiritual all the time. All the time. They can't be separated. This is one of the things I like to explore with people, is like, what you do physically has a spiritual impact, and what you do spiritually can also have a physical impact. It's not like magic, but it is real. Think about the term mind over matter. That's not just a cliche. That can actually be real. Like, that actually happens. Because the spiritual and the physical in us is not just two things kind of moving side by side. They are one whole unit. Body, soul are not separate. They are combined, united as one. Therefore, the heart, when we talk about the heart, it goes deeper than just the emotions or even just the physical organ. It is the whole person in essence. And so the heart, the place of contact, is where God desires to meet us, because that is where we are, essentially. That is why that is the focal point of prayer, is the heart. What is contained within the heart? Let's go back to that first paragraph from the Catechism. Catechism, paragraph 2723. Meditation is a prayerful quest engaging thought, imagination, emotion, and desire. From here on, a lot of the terminology and things I'm going to use, while not exclusive to them, comes a lot from my own time spent with the Institute for Priestly Formation in their spiritual formation. And while it's not a conclusive, whole, overarching tour de force of the spiritual life, it does, I think, encapsulate very well what it means for prayer to be relationship and for prayer to be centered on the heart. And it comes to those four things: thoughts, imagination, emotion, desires, which they term simply as the stuff in the heart are thoughts, feelings, and desires. Now, before you kind of hear that and kind of think, well, this is getting very touchy-feely, let's really unpack that. Thoughts. The intellect. Like, things you think. I think this. I think that. I had this thought. Intellectual, rational. When we talk about human beings, and we don't have time to unpack this fully, but human beings, God created us in his image, and the way that the tradition says that image comes forth is in our intellect and our will. The intellect is the rational part of us that can understand understand universal concepts and the like, reason things. So like, a dog doesn't think about goodness in and of itself. A dog can express love and some sense of thought, but we think about like universal concepts of goodness. Just wrap your head around that for a little bit. Like, what other being on earth sits down and has philosophers that contemplate what is goodness or justice, like as a thing, not as just actions that we do? And then we have the will. So thoughts, the intellect, what I think, what's going through my head. Feelings, pretty self-explanatory. What am I feeling? And as we'll get into later, that doesn't necessarily have to just be, you know, every passing emotion. And then desires. This gets into the will, which is the second part. The intellect and will are part of what makes us the image of God. The will is what we want and therefore how we act. What we want influences what we do. It's that simple. If you want to experiment, everything, every action that you take, the fact that you're in this church means that you wanted something here. You didn't just wander in on a whim. Even if those who just wander in the door, they're looking for something. Like, there is truly, if you really probe someone on why they did something, there is no such thing as a random action, unless someone's perhaps literally out of their mind. But we always do something for a reason, because we want something out of it. Even if it's just as simply as, I just want to get out of another thing. Or I just have nothing to do, so I need to fill my time with something. Desires. What do I want? These are what make up the stuff of prayer, because this is what is in the heart. This is what goes on inside of us all the time. We have countless thoughts, countless feelings, countless desires throughout a day on different levels, different types, but it just continually passes through. And this is what God, when he desires to encounter us, desires to know. Think about going back to Jesus teaching the Our Father. What, in essence, is he teaching them to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're saying, God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. I want, desire. Give us this day our daily bread. I want this bread. And forgive us our trespasses. It's all based in desire, and even to some extent, like the thoughts, Our Father who art in heaven, like I think you have a thought about who God is. And I'm sure there's feelings attached to every time you pray the Our Father. If you're praying it and you're really paying attention to the words, you probably think, like, give us this day our daily bread. Like, someone who is hungry looks at that and has feelings about that. When you say, forgive us our trespasses, if you've sinned recently, something that you are particularly ashamed of, there's going to be feelings attached to that. So it's all kind of implicitly, but still there. This is what Jesus is teaching us to do, is to pay attention. What are we asking for? What do we want? What do we think? What do we feel? But how do we know which of these things we need to focus on? That's perhaps the hardest thing to discern. And we will not be extensively unpacking this tonight. There's more to come. But how do we know which stuff is the stuff of prayer? Because we have all kinds of thoughts and feelings and desires throughout the day. And some of them are very fleeting, like, I think, well, I might need to clip my toenails today. Do I need to take that to prayer? Or, I really like the weather today. It feels nice. Do I need to take that to prayer? The fact that I'm happy about the weather? Maybe. So how do we know? What do we take to prayer? There's a tool, and I want to emphasize this. It is a tool. It is not the reality. It is a tool that they've kind of fashioned to kind of understand how to discern different thoughts, feelings, and desires, called the three levels of the heart. Basically, the idea is that the heart, in the biblical sense, all these thoughts, feelings, desires can be categorized somewhat into three different levels, going from the surface to the deepest part of the heart. And at the very center, as we read in the scriptures, is where the Holy Spirit, who is dwelling within us because of our baptism and confirmation, dwells. Level one is non-spiritual thoughts, feelings, desires that are very surface level. This is, you know, very passing thoughts, feelings, desires. They come, they go. These are the things that we experience every day, and they weave in and weave out, and they really, for the most part, are neutral. Basically, almost always, they're neutral. Like, if we were to talk about this in a moral sense, that's not what we're talking about tonight, but just to kind of explain more deeply. Like, when we talk about morality of thoughts, feelings, and desires, like, these are the ones that really have no moral weight. They're neutral. They're just passing. They're things that just kind of come and go, for the most part. And this would be stuff like, you know, I feel good when it's 70 degrees outside. Or I stubbed my toe, now I'm a little upset. Like, you're hopefully not going to be too deeply upset because you stubbed your toe. It's just going to be like, ow, that hurt. And eventually it'll heal itself, hopefully, and then you'll move on. Very passing, transitory. Stuff that we encounter every day. And it's important for us to at least recognize that we have them, but not always to, like, spend hours upon hours meditating on, you know, was I sinfully angry because I stubbed my toe? Probably not the most useful exercise. But then we get one step lower. Level two. Non-spiritual, deeper psychological thoughts, feelings, desires. These are not spiritual in nature, but they're a little bit deeper. So if the surface levels are more like our reactions to the physical things that happen around us, so to speak, that's too broad, but you get the idea. These are more on a psychological level. These can be more deeply rooted in us. Things you can think of for this is like habits. They influence how we perceive the world. They influence what's called our ethos, basically our way of living. Ethos is a Greek word that we get the word ethics from. It doesn't exactly mean ethics, but it's the root of ethics. These influence us on a more habitual and more lasting way. Some of the things like family dynamics, family relationships, our DNA, like how we were born, can influence these thoughts, feelings, and desires. It would also include sexual desires in this, which also are not in and of themselves. The desire for sex is not objectively good or bad. It's a desire. It depends on how you use it. Depends on how it influences your actions. This level, you could, I guess, argue in some of these ways is more things that on some level needs to be discerned, how you react to them. But it's still not quite at the spiritual level. Some other things are like cultural and ethnic influences, like thoughts that are influenced by my upbringing. and all that kind of nature. But do you kind of see, it's kind of like, it's not like these passing thoughts that everyone has just from being outside kind of thing and encountering the world. It's more deeper reactions maybe I have, thoughts, feelings, and desires I have that are influenced by things that are a little bit more ingrained in me, a little bit deeper. And then you get to the final level, or the final level before where the Holy Spirit dwells, the level 3 of the heart, which are the spiritual thoughts, feelings, and desires. And these are the ones for the most, well, no, yeah, these are where, this is where we encounter those thoughts, feelings, and desires that are the stuff of prayer. Some of the higher level desires, and we can get into this more as we go on, can influence these deeper desires. But the essence of where we want to sit as we reflect on prayer, especially a prayer of the heart, is on the spiritual thoughts, feelings, and desires, those that impact directly my relationship with God. Those things that make me think certain things about God. Those feelings that are directly aimed at God and about how I live with Him or how I perceive myself in Him. Those desires I have for God that affect the way I relate to God. And one of the things that's important to note here, especially because these are the ones that as we move forward will be the fruit, the sources of prayer, is that when we talk about prayer and the thoughts, feelings, and desires that we have, in prayer there is never just one voice, nor is there only two voices. What do I mean by that? As we already established last week, prayer is a relationship. Therefore, there are two voices that are at work. Two people at work. Two voices speaking. My voice and God's voice. Or as writers like Ignatius of Loyola will say, the good spirit, because it encapsulates, you know, everything that is from God. And then me. But it goes even further. One thing we always have to remember, and this is not to scare us, this is not to throw us off the track, and if this causes anxiety, it might be best not to dwell on this too much, but it is important to remember, in prayer, there is also a third voice that is active, a third person that is at work, the evil spirit, which is not just talking about the devil, but as St. Ignatius very well lays out, is both the devil, the evil one, the world, the evil, the biblical sense of the world that is talking about that which is evil in the world, not the world as in creation. And then our sinful humanity, because we are still sinners. So this is what's going on. So when we talk about these level 3 thoughts, feelings, desires that affect our relationship with God, what is going to have to be discerned as we go forward, as we'll dive into a little bit more, who is speaking? Because there is always three at play. Myself, God, and the evil spirit. So who is speaking? And as we go forward, we can dive into how we can accurately depict. And the important thing for right now that we need to know about these level 3 desires, thoughts, and feelings, the stuff of prayer, is to discern. When we learn how to discern, which regrettably we can't fully unpack tonight, but once we do, can we accept what is from God and reject what is not from God? That becomes the essential choice, to accept what is from God and reject what is not from God. When we learn to discern, the choice is very clear. We just have to make it. And without getting too in-depth, just a quick spoiler, go back to one of the presuppositions I talked about at the beginning. Our subjective experience is always governed by the objective truth in the scripture, tradition, authentically interpreted by the magisterium. Does what I experience on that deepest level about God, my feelings, my thoughts, my desires pertaining to God, do the easiest thing, but it's not comprehensive, but the easiest test, does it jive with what I know to be true about God? What I know to be true, not what I think is true, not what I feel is true, what I know to be true. Do my thoughts, feeling, desires, are they consistent with what is known to be true about God or not? It's a lot more complicated than that. It takes a lot of prayer and discernment and practice and trial and error also. But that's in essence what it is. If it is consistent with who God is, who we know God to be, the God that Jesus reveals to us as Father, then we accept it. And if it is not, we reject it. So that is the stuff and part of how we discern the stuff. But it's important to remember, as I said before we dove into the three levels of the heart, this is a tool. It is not the reality of how we work. One of the things, if you try to apply this too cleanly, this is important for almost any kind of model someone tries to give you about prayer, is that reality is not always so clean. Some of these thoughts, feelings, and desires, especially those that hover around the level two, can sometimes affect those that are in the more the level three, or vice versa. It just, our hearts are not so divided. It's one of the things I tell people sometimes is like, we have to get out of this mindset that we can compartmentalize ourselves, because we can't. We can try to at least organize ourselves to some degree, but we are one whole human being. One. And so ultimately, like, things are going to get messy. It's not always going to be clear cut. Is this a level two? Is this a level three? Is this a level one? Don't get caught up in the levels. That's why it's almost a bad thing to even dive into this. But it helps us to understand, like, what are we trying to look for? The essence is, like, is this leading me to God or not? Is this from God or not? And that's what we're going to try to discern as we keep going. Like, these things that I bring to prayer, are they leading me to God or are they not? Are they drawing me into deeper relationship with God or are they not? And so that's the next question. What do I do with this? And that's what we'll pick up as we continue next week.